Good evening, listeners. My name is Mistress Batten.
Every Wednesday from 8 till 9 p.m. Central Europe time.
I live in South Africa. I'm first off all a wife and a mother. And I'm also a dominatrix.
With a new show on uneven week numbers and a replay the week after.
So what I do, why I'm on this radio station, is I love BDSM. It's one of my biggest passions in life.
Her mail address, mistress.baton@bdsmradio.eu.
Good evening, listeners. My name is Mistress Batten, and since this is my first time on bdsmradio.eu, let me tell you a bit about myself. I live in South Africa. I'm first off all a wife and a mother, and I'm also a dominatrix. I'm an actress and TV presenter. So this is my first time on radio, and I'm a little bit nervous. I have extensive experience in TV, obviously, but zero experience in radio. So please excuse me if I'm a bit hesitant today. So what I do, why I'm on this radio station, is I love BDSM. It's one of my biggest passions in life. I myself play in the realm of corporal punishment and role play. That's two of my biggest fetishes. Other fetishes that I love and which I practice is latex. I love wearing it. I love watching it. In fact, next week's show will be about latex, and I'll be interviewing a few latex fetishists and also a latex manufacturer. But that's not today's show, so let's stop talking about that. So yeah, that's enough about me. What I'd like to do now is play a song. It's called Slaffin, and it's by a South African extreme metal band formed in 2000 named Quibus. This is a BDSM inspired number, and it's titled Slaffin, and that means pleasure slave in English. They recorded an Afrikaans version of the controversial Manowar song called Pleasure Slave. If you know the Manowar version, you'll know which one you like best after this. I love the Quibus version most. Quibus released this online in 2012. It was available for a short while for download, and it can be listened to on their pages. The details of that will be posted on our site and our Facebook page. I will interview Quibus for bdsmradio.eu in the next few weeks. Enjoy.
BDSMradio.eu.
There you go. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. So what you can expect from my shows, it will be bi-weekly. That is, every 2 weeks there will be a new talk show on a Wednesday evening by me, and a rebroadcast of that same show the Wednesday after that. I already told you that I love BDSM. I'm very passionate about it. So I will talk about anything and everything to do with BDSM, as long as it's legal, of course. with me, there's no taboos. Even subjects that I don't like, even types of play that I don't do myself, or fetishes that I'm not interested in myself, I will talk about. I like to talk about things that I love, and hate is a strong word, so I would rather use the word dislike. Something that I dislike intensely is prejudice. So even if I don't like something, I will definitely not be prejudiced about it, and I will talk about it anytime. For the next few shows, you can expect a latex talk show. Today's show, of course, will be about safety in BDSM from a doctor's perspective. A subsequent show will be about BDSM furniture making. I'm hoping to get fetish online for that. I'll also talk about fashion in BDSM, erotic photography, how to make your own BDSM films and clips. And for all of that, I'll get experts in the field to talk about the subject. And eventually, when I'm live online, you can phone in and ask questions from the experts yourself. There will hopefully always be a giveaway on my show. There will be a giveaway today. I'll talk about that after the interview with the doctor. But the most important thing is I want to hear from you. It's very easy, of course, to talk about things that I'm interested in, but this is not about me. This is about you. I want to hear from you. I want to know what you're passionate about. I want to hear from you what you want me to talk about. What are your passions? What are your interests? Please let me know. It's quite easy to get hold of me. Obviously, we have our website. Are you listening from the website tonight? bdsmradio.eu. A part of my work, I don't just beat people up all day and cane people all day. I'm on social media for at least 6 hours a day. It takes me 6 hours to do my social media upkeep per day. So you can reach me on Facebook on our bdsmradio.eu page or on my own Facebook page called Strafkamer. That's Punishment Room in English. You can reach me even on FetLife, but I would prefer for this radio show that you reach me on bdsmradio.eu. I have my own DJ page on there, and there's the main page. And the giveaway details will be on the website page as well as our Facebook page every week. You will have 2 weeks to enter for this competition, and it will be the winner will be announced on the next show, the next live show, which will be in 2 weeks' time. For the giveaways, if you like our Facebook page, bdsmradio.eu, you will get 2 entries for every competition. So in your mail that you send for your competition entry, you must mention and send the link to your Facebook page so that we can check that you are indeed that you indeed liked our Facebook page, and then you'll get 2 entries for every competition that you enter. So, on to our guest for tonight. It's a no-brainer that many of you find satisfaction in risque behavior or fetishes. But, as responsible adults, we also have to acknowledge that some BDSM practice can lead to serious or permanent injury. So, I thought it would be a good idea to get our facts straight before we even start exploring the wonderful world of BDSM. Our very knowledgeable guest tonight is a medical doctor from South Africa's beautiful mother city, Cape Town. Dr. Jan Nel graduated in 2008 from the University of Stellenbosch and currently practices as a GP in Cape Town. Very early in his career as a medical doctor, aesthetic medicine became a particular field of interest, and while doing his internship and community service, Dr. Nel completed several aesthetic and skin rejuvenation courses. In an effort to remain abreast of the latest developments in cutting-edge international techniques and procedures, he regularly attends aesthetic conferences in major centers. Welcome, Dr. Nel.
Good evening, Yvonne, and to all the listeners.
Just before we start with the question, there's just a general disclaimer that I would like to air, and that is that Dr. Nel and I assume that players in the various BDSM fields we're going to discuss today are safe and informed players, of course. This is not a how-to discussion. This is about a doctor's perspective on various types of BDSM play safety. Okay, so we're starting with my personal most favorite type of BDSM, and that's corporal punishment. We as caners, whippers, and other corporal punishment tops all have our own method of cleaning and treating bleeding play wounds as part of our aftercare. Doctor, how would you recommend for immediately after a session for corporal punishment wound cleaning, and how would you advise the bottom in terms of aftercare?
Yvonne, in the context of the sexual practice of BDSM, aftercare is the process of attending to one another after intense feelings of a physical or psychological nature relating to BDSM activities. I want to focus a little bit on both the physical as well as the emotional aspect of BDSM aftercare. With physical aftercare, you want to prevent infection and apply suitable care so to minimize scar formation. It consists of wound care, nourishment and rehydration, medicine and rest. Obviously, evaluate the wound first. If it's bleeding actively, then apply pressure. Active bleeding should be stopped by applying mild to moderate pressure. Clean the wounds and with cool, mild salt water. Apply an antibacterial ointment and cover the wound with bandage or even better, Steri-Strips. Non-bleeding wounds can be managed by cold compress to the wound to decrease swelling and pain. Apply anti-inflammatory ointment like Arnica cream immediately afterwards. Take non-steroidal anti-inflammatory medicine like aspirin to decrease swelling, pain, and fever. Nourishment and rehydration is important for skin cells to function and heal properly. Enough water intake and vitamin C supplements are vital. And Yvonne, I would guess that a BDSM session can quite drain a player physically.
Yes.
I strongly encourage proper rest after every session. You can decrease the amount of scarring by keeping your wounds clean, applying the necessary antibiotic cream, and after skin is closed, applying regular anti-inflammatory creams like Arnica, vitamin E oils, so forth. Wash your hands with soap and water before and after caring for your wounds. You may need to keep the wounds dry for the first 24 to 48 hours. After that, gentle wound care twice daily. Do not use alcohol to clean wounds. Then to come to the emotional aspect of the aftercare, Yvonne. Mm-hmm. It consists of support for both parties, the dominants and the submissives, reassurance and affection. Can I go on?
Yes, yes, it's fantastic. It's very interesting.
The BDSM experiences can be exhausting and drain the participants of mental, emotional and physical energy. As a result, one or all participants may require emotional support, comfort, reassurance, and physical tenderness. Along with this, they may experience everything from exhilaration to traumatization. Aftercare also may include a review or debriefing of the activities from experiences of both the dominant and the submissive. After play is over, the drop in endorphins, coupled with the after effects of power exchange, physicality and emotional release, may leave one or both partners feeling lost, sad, anxious or guilty. To help both partners calm down and to mediate potential negative feelings, one or both partners may need aftercare that includes attention to physical needs. And, of course, your emotional needs. That in a nutcase.
Wow, that's so interesting. Doctor, if I can just throw a question in here. I've been cleaning. I quite often clean submissives bloody. And I've always used alcohol to clean their wounds. Why should one not use alcohol to clean wounds?
The main reason is alcohol is burning. And it doesn't do anything for wound healing at that stage. The main thing you want at that stage for wound is to enhance proper wound healing as soon as possible. Because if you don't do that, your scarring will be worse. And that's the way, but alcohol doesn't do any, it cleans, it kills bacteria, but it doesn't enhance new cells. It can actually kill some of your new cells that want to go sit there at the point of inflammation.
Oh, wow. Thanks, doctor. Okay, on to our next question regarding caning. Apart from the scabs, when it's been a heavy caning session, which usually take about 3 weeks to completely heal, there are also what's called the shadow cane marks, which might take a month to years to disappear. It's smooth scars, which literally look like shadows. What is the shadow cane marks type of scarring called in medical terms?
Well, a great concern of players is, of course, the formation of scars. With regular play or high-intensity play, scar formation is inevitable. Mm-hmm. Also, an important factor is that certain people are more prone of developing scars than others. Mm-hmm. Before scarring, obviously, there will be bruising. And I will highly recommend ice packs being applied within 24 hours to reduce inflammation and fade marks. Apply 20 minutes on, 20 minutes off, a minimum of 3 times. That will do wonders. When we come to the actual scarring, there are 2 types to be distinguished from each other. Hypertrophic scars and keloid scars. Mm-hmm. Both are an overgrowth of connective tissue that develops around the wound. Your hypertrophic scars are the tissue that stays within the border of the wound, and your keloid scars, the tissue grows behind or beyond the borders of the original wound. And of course, prevention is key. But like you said, people will not, players in BDSM will not stop with doing the activities. So there are treatments, different kinds of treatments for the scarring. Unfortunately, once you develop keloid scarring, it's almost impossible to get rid of it totally. Depending on your skin color as well. The darker the skin, people must remember, the darker the skin, the tendency being that keloid scars will stay permanent. But therapeutic treatment of hypertrophic and keloid scars includes occlusive dressings, compression, intralesional corticosteroid injections, cryosurgery, radiation therapy, laser therapy, among others.
Okay. Wow.
If I can say which work the best and what I've seen the best effect afterwards are your intralesional corticosteroid injections together with radiation therapy.
Okay. Wow. Thanks, doctor. Yeah, that makes a few things more clearer for me. Okay, so let's go on to our next category for today, and that's fire play. Branding. It's a severe type of marking, and we all know how dangerous it could be. What would you recommend for medical safety measures pre-branding and during the branding process?
Yvonne, burn wounds has the same priorities as any other wounds, with the exception of determining the depth of the burn and the percentage of body surface affected. Basic burn wounds care at home consists of immersing the site in cold water for 30 minutes to reduce pain and edema and to minimize tissue damage. Initially, burns are sterile. Focus treatment on speedy healing and prevention of infection. Do not use alcohol-based solutions. Petroleum-based gauze can be applied to the wounds. Change dressings daily and inspect wound for infection. Fever is not a good sign or useful sign. Rather observe the surrounding skin for cellulitis, that is redness, tenderness, and mold swelling of the surrounding tissue or skin. And of course, a bad odor can also be a sign of infection. Mm-hmm. In that case, you will apply antibiotic ointment like silver nitrate, or please go see your GP if it's not improving. Burn scars undergo maturation, at first being red, raised, and uncomfortable. They frequently become hypertrophic and form keloids, like I discussed.
Mm.
They do flatten, soften, and fade over time, but can take up to 2 years or be permanent.
Mm.
And of course, the most important thing with all wounds, but especially burn wounds, is to keep your hydration status up to date, drink enough water, take your vitamin C supplements. All of that is excellent for cell rejuvenation.
Wow. Thanks, doctor. So let's go on to our next category for today, and that's breath play. This is not a familiar area of play for me, so I don't really have any questions about breath play, but what I found on the internet is that they say you shouldn't ever do this alone, this type of play, breath play. And I also saw that another doctor somewhere on the internet said, if you're going to do it, make sure you know the risks. Learn CPR, know how to deal with coronary arrest. So my question for you, doctor, please tell us what we as Joe Public should do in case of a coronary arrest. How shall we as public recognize it and treat it on the way to the ER?
Ivana, I must admit, I also didn't know that you said something there about 10 to 20 minutes after the breath break that the chances of coronary arrest is higher.
Yes.
I actually tried to go look up the reason for that. I will still go, but I will go, and as soon as I found some explanation for that, I will come back to you.
Okay.
But like you said, it is important for everybody to know the principle and the main point of what we call BLS, basic life support. And I think for players of BDSM, if and especially breath play, if you know that is something that can happen, you have then you definitely have to be equipped with that knowledge. If you're in Europe, the USA and most first world countries, most adults are properly trained in basic life support. I would strongly encourage every player, especially those in breath play, to learn the basics of BLS. It's a few easy steps and it can save a life. Now, BLS, what we medical practitioners call high quality CPR, improves a victim's chances of survival. The critical characteristics of high quality CPR include start compressions within 10 seconds of recognition of the cardiac arrest. Push hard and push fast. Compress at a rate of at least 100 per minute with a depth of at least 5 centimeters. Allow complete chest recoil. Minimize interruptions, and that, and with that I mean, don't think that if you don't, if the person's not breathing, that you must give breaths. Rather, only do the compressions, leave the breaths until you two people or other help has arrived.
Okay.
And then obviously, that, like I said, avoid excessive ventilation. In a country like ours, where I think your BLS training is not up to standard and the general public doesn't know or are equipped with that knowledge, I will say if you're one person, you see something like that happen, immediately call for help.
Okay.
And then start compressions.
Yes. Okay. Wow, interesting. I think I'll have to study this podcast afterwards to remember all of this. Okay, so now we're going on to our next category for today, and that's toilet play. It's another area of BDSM in which I'm not familiar at all. And this is not everyone's cup of tea, or should I say cup of urine. Nevertheless, it's still a type of BDSM performed the world over. And therefore, I'm covering the subject. Some people do it on occasion only, but there are many, many BDSM slaves who serve their master or mistress as permanent toilets. How much human urine and how often can human urine be safely ingested by an adult human?
Yvonne, also again, I needed to go onto the internet and look up this topic myself.
Yes.
But let me discuss the topic in a whole. Urophagia, or what we call the consumption of urine, is a liquid byproduct of blood filtration in the body.
Mm-hmm.
Consuming one's own urine is relatively low in risk. Bacterial infection of the urinating person's urethra or disease in the person urinating may pose a risk. Elements of medications and dietary supplements can be excreted in urine, which can affect the person consuming the urine. Also, if urine comes into contact with the skin, it can cause a rash in sensitive individuals. Now, the main danger of urine ingestion is the high sodium and mineral content. That is now in a person that we will say is a bit healthy otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
The high sodium content usually does not pose a problem if the urine is sufficiently diluted. The effect of the high sodium may be mitigated by drinking some water after consuming urine. The urine may be diluted if the person drinks some water an hour or so before producing the urine that will be consumed.
Okay.
Urine should not be drunk when one is dehydrated. The kidneys which filter the urine concentrate sodium and other minerals into the urine. Drinking the urine will only make one re-ingest the minerals that have already been excreted by the kidneys. There's just a few medical facts about urine.
Okay.
I can also add that, for example, since artificial sweeteners are excreted in urine, consuming artificial sweetener that you get in diet soda or so before engaging in urophagia can lend a sweet taste to the urine.
Oh.
Consuming asparagus can cause the person's urine to have a distinctive odor.
Yes.
And then, of course, a very interesting fact is if the taste of sugar is detected in an individual's urine and it is known that the artificial sweetener has not been consumed, this may be a sign of diabetes.
Oh my word.
So you can even make a diagnosis there and then.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. Wow. Some BDSM players might become layman doctors.
Yes, why not?
Okay, so on to a quite controversial question. How much human feces and how often can human feces be safely ingested by an adult human?
Never, and in no quantities. Feces, what we call coprophagia, mm-hmm. is the practice of eating your own or another person's feces, and it may give new meaning to this term sexual appetite.
Yes.
You get the otocoprophagia, where you eat your own feces, and then the allocoprophagia, where you're eating another person's feces. Coprophagia is often a component of the wilder term coprophilia, which refers to getting sexual pleasure from the excretion of human feces,
mm-hmm.
whether it's from its smell, touch, taste, or sight. Scat is another term for feces, and scat sex or scat play refers to using scat in sexual activities.
Yes.
Now, obviously, the problem with that is bacteria, parasites, and, of course, your viruses. Shigella, Campylobacter, Salmonella, and E. coli are four bacteria commonly present in fecal matter. Your two parasites are amoebas and guardia, and, of course, your viruses, hepatitis A and E. They can also transmit it through contact with fecal matter. And by that, I say contact. So you can get it through the open skin.
Okay.
Or with any other, without eating the feces. Symptoms of bacterial or viral infection includes jaundice, itchiness in parts of the body, diarrhea, abdominal pain, cramping, bloody stools, fever, nausea, and vomiting. All three of these types of infections can occur even without eating any feces. In one's mouth, if one's mouth, nose, or any orifice or open cuts or sores touches something that has had contact with the feces, then it's possible for the partner to become infected as well. The best way to prevent infection is to make sure that there's no direct oral orifice and fecal contact. This might mean refraining from licking of the anus or using a dam or plastic wrap to cover the anus, and making sure that any objects that are inserted in the anus are kept away from the mouth until it has been properly cleansed. Yeah. Using condoms and dental dams can also help to prevent transmission. Women should take extra precaution when coming to contact with feces, because urinary tract and vaginal infections are commonly caused by the bacteria present in fecal matter. The idea of experimenting with scat play might heat things up in the bedroom, but it's always a good idea to consider the risks of a behavior before acting upon it.
Okay. Wow. Well, against your advice, I know many people do like scat play, and they do like to service toilets. And I've come across quite a few tips in my own research for human feces to taste better for the human toilet's sake. For example, I've read that eating less animal fat will apparently make the feces taste slightly less bitter. Do you have any tips that you could think of that will result in better tasting feces?
Okay, let's take the person is absolutely in normal condition and healthy condition.
Yes.
Like you said, less animal fat will give a better texture to the feces. Less bitter, like you said. Mm-hmm. Once again, if you drink enough water, hydrate yourself. That might keep down the odor of the feces. If you consume a lot of veggies and certain type of fruit, not those with a high sugar content, the odor again will be less.
Okay.
But yeah, I have to go read up on it a bit more.
Okay, great. Well, we might cover that in a subsequent show. Dr. Nell has agreed to regularly visit us on bdsmradio.eu, so we're very glad about that, and we thank you for your time today, Doctor.
Thank you. That's a huge pleasure, Yvonne.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
If you have any further BDSM-related medical questions, you're welcome to send them to me on all the mediums that I told you before, but I'll repeat it on bdsmradio.eu's website, on my own DJ page on bdsmradio.eu, on our Facebook page, bdsmradio.eu. You're welcome to send me messages with your medical questions. Obviously, you will remain anonymous. I will use your nickname if you want. Otherwise, you can just tell me that you would like it to be anonymous, your questions, and I will make sure that it remains anonymous. We will be getting Dr. Nell in as guest every few months. He has agreed to that, as you heard, and we're very glad about that. Okay, so on to our prize. Your prize is given to you today by Best Body Skin, Aesthetics by Artist Besper. It's a popular Johannesburg clinic specializing in high-end aesthetic products and treatments. Their philosophy is simple, that happiness shows. In other words, that outer appearance is a reflection of inner well-being. So the aesthetic specialists achieve remarkable results through a holistic approach where diet and weight management are integral components. A host of celebrity brand ambassadors pays testament to this business's impeccable reputation. Best Body Skin are the sponsors of three product giveaways tonight, worth €100 or R1,500 each. The competition details will be posted on our website tomorrow. The competition closes 24th of February 2015, and the winner will be announced on my next live show, 25th of February 2015, and that's a Wednesday evening. Before I say goodbye to you tonight, I'd like to play you a song by my favorite band in the world, Alien Vampires. So Alien Vampires, let me give you a bit of background about them, which is a good thing because you'll be hearing a lot of Alien Vampires. They consist of Nisroch Infernalien and Nightstalker. They're in an Italian-British combo. Nisroch Infernalien is on voice, guitars and keys, and Nightstalker on production, keys and drums. The genre is a subgenre of industrial, and they call themselves an obscene industrial band. They fall under the agritech subgenre of industrial. A short description of them from their Facebook page is "Drag You to Hell." And they, two of their major influences are LSD, the drug, and BDSM. So they have quite a few BDSM-related songs. One of them we'll be playing just now. It's called Harsh Drugs and BDSM. I just want to tell you a bit more about the agrotech genre in general, because I will be playing a lot of agrotech BDSM-related songs. Agrotech is a subgenre of industrial, as I said earlier, and it's mainly a mixture of EBM, which is electronic body music, and industrial, and metal. You'll hear all the growling voices that's so typical of metal music, and trance. So the trance gives agrotech, that's where it differs mainly from normal metal or normal industrial. The trance usually gives it the driving beats, the constant driving beats, and that's one of the reasons why I love them so much, because I love trance as well. So that's goodbye from me for this evening. Thank you for listening to me. And please remember to send me all your suggestions and everything you would like me to talk about in subsequent shows. Here is Alien Vampires with Harsh Drugs and BDSM. BDSMradio.eu